important. We realize, church, that our young people, not just the church of tomorrow, they should be the church of today as well. And they have a part to play in our church. Just like, you know, in our family, we've got old folks in our family. We've got some middle-aged folks, and hopefully we've got some young folks in our family, and that's what makes our family family. And I think that's all I'll say about that. But John chapter 12, and we're not going to read all 50 of these verses, but I challenge you this week, as part of your maybe quiet time, do read all 50 verses. You know, so just to remind us, what happened in chapter 11 was Jesus' friend Lazarus, who was the brother of Mary and Martha, had died. Well, first he had gotten sick. And then they sent word to Jesus, say, hey, listen, Lazarus is sick, you better come see him. Lazarus ends up dying. And Jesus goes to Bethany to meet with the sisters. And he actually calls Lazarus back to life from the dead. You know, that what an amazing thing that would have been to witness and see. And it reminds us that life is precious. And, you know, we've seen so much, especially over the last few weeks and months in our nation and even in our community. There's been so much killing and so much shooting. We need to understand, friends, that God says all life is precious. And it is okay to disagree with people, but it's not okay to kill them because you disagree with them. The Bible says that we overcome evil, though, with more evil. That's not what it says. That was a test. Y'all failed. No, I'm just teasing. The Bible says overcome evil with good. People have, and there have been assassinations and murders really since early years of human existence. We find it early in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 4, when a brother kills his brother. And, that is certainly not something to celebrate. It's something for us to mourn and pray about, but not be, scared and, but this world needs Jesus. And we see the things that have been going on and all the Jackson and other places. There's very few days and weeks that go by where the news isn't reporting that there's been a murder somewhere in our metro area. Friends, I think that's because it is because of sin, number one. It's a sin problem, but it's also a not valuing life problem. All life is precious and a gift from God, and we need to remember that and see it as such. And so that kind of plays well with our sermon this morning. And so as we begin looking at chapter 12, verse 1, it's the week before Jesus is going to be crucified. John spends 12 chapters talking about the first 3 years of Jesus' life, and the last 10 chapters are about the last week of Jesus' life. And it's because of that last week that any of us have hope. And it was that last week that showed us what God says love is. You know, our world, not only does it have a bad view of what life is all about and how valuable and important life is, our world does not understand what love is about. Love is not, about sex. It's not about, telling people I love you. It's not about having ooey-gooey feelings. It's about caring and showing someone that you care about them. It is, a verb word. Not just something that we say. And so let's take a look, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 12. It says, Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had risen from the dead. There they made a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. when Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" By the way, let me just insert here. We don't know what a denarii is. That doesn't really mean anything to us. But a denarii was an average person's daily wage. So this was basically an entire year's salary worth. So no matter what your, if you make minimum wage, and you know, think about 300 paydays, that's a lot of money. And so that helps kind of set the stage. And John tells us he said this not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And he had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not always have." Now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. Many gathered and worshipped, proclaiming the Messiah had come. Drop down with me into verse 23. The verses that we're skipping is Palm Sunday. It's Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and crowds are there gathered on that hill and waving palm branches and, you know, saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And we're going to pick it up in verse 23. It says, "But Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loses his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But it was for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice from heaven came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." And so what an amazing time this was, and reminds us of just exactly who Jesus was and why he came. Jesus knew why he came. He came because he loved me, he loved you, he loved everybody, and he knew that the only way that any of us would have any hope was if he shed his innocent blood for our sinful blood. That was all it could take. And so it reminds us of some important things, and I've titled this morning's message, "All About the Heart." Because in this chapter, these 50 verses, there's a lot of different characters here in these 50 verses. And a lot of them had a lot of different reactions to Jesus and to his message. Some believed and were truly disciples of Jesus. Some were just along for the ride. They were caught up in the show that was, you know, it was the hot thing in town, so they just were along for the ride. There were religious folks that, you know, not only have always been against Jesus and kind of plotting to get rid of him, they're now plotting to get rid of Lazarus again. John tells us, because of Lazarus' testimony, a lot of people were leaving Judaism and trusting in Jesus. So what's the big deal about that? The big deal is that the chief priests were losing their power and their rule over people. These were the men that were supposed to be the leaders of God's people, that were teaching them God's word through not only proclaiming what God's word, but by being an example. And by the way, that's why Paul tells us in his writings that pastors and teachers are going to be held to a higher standard, because they are to be an example to the others. Now, that doesn't mean that you put your pastor, your Sunday school teacher, or deacons up on a pedestal and bow down before them, or think that they're perfect. And not, you know, if you think I'm perfect, ask Leslie. She'll let you know I'm not. None of us are perfect. We all have shortcomings. But listen, God loves us and God redeems us. He loves us so much that he says, you know what you need? You don't need New Year's resolutions. You don't need to try harder. You don't need to be dunked in a baptistry. It's not about going to church, although obviously I'm your pastor. I think you ought to be in church. But coming to church is not what makes you right before God. Jesus said, listen, y'all need a heart transplant. He said the problem is your heart. It's not in the things you do, because there were people that were proclaiming and worshiping Jesus and welcoming him into the city of Jerusalem. And the very next week, in just a few short days, some of those same people were going to be standing outside of Pontius Pilate's palace and saying, crucify Jesus. And so it reminds us of how important it is. And really, the answer to the things that are wrong in our world, we think it's sometimes money issues or politic issues. And the reality, 99.99% of the time, it's spiritual heart issues that are the problem at the root. And these other things we're seeing go on in our society are just reflections of that sin problem. And so, but it doesn't do us just any good, does it, to realize we're sick? We got to do something about it. You know, I missed last week. I was sick most of last week and didn't eat a whole lot. So I lost some weight last week, but that's not the way you want to do it. But you know what? If I would have just said, well, I'm just sick. I'm just going to sit here and be sick and miserable. What would I be? I'd be sick and miserable. But God's people prayed for me. But I also went to a good godly doctor. And he gave me some medicine. And so I'm getting better. I'm not 100% yet, but thankfully I'm a whole lot better than what I was. So it's not just enough to recognize we're sick. It's not just enough to recognize we're sinful. We've got to do something about it. But the thing is, we can't do anything about it. And so Jesus came and did something about it for us. And he says that it is in him that we have life, and it's in Jesus Christ that we have hope, and that we have this transformation of life. Listen, it is only Jesus that can take drug addicts and clean them up. It is only Jesus that can take liars and thieves and make them righteous. Only Jesus can do that. All the self-help books in the world ain't going to do it. But Jesus can, and Jesus does, and Jesus will, if we'll let him. So understand this as we begin, that everyone needs a heart transplant. Then secondly, I want us to note this morning that transplant is evident to everyone. When you have, when you're healthy, when you've gotten if you were sick and you've got an organ transplant, all of a sudden people are going to be able to tell there's a difference in you. I've known some folks that have had liver transplants, and when they're sick and their liver is shutting down, their skin turns crazy yellowish. And you can tell, there's something wrong with you've either eaten too much carrots, or there's something wrong with you. Because they're looking kind of orangey and yellowish. But once that liver, they get that liver and it starts working and doing the thing it's supposed to do, guess what? Their color comes back, and you can tell, it's evident. And so Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. Guess what? Everybody can see that. They knew Lazarus was dead. They buried him. They maybe went to his funeral. And now they're seeing him sit at a feast with this man named Jesus and his disciples, and there were a lot of other people there as well. And we find Mary and Martha doing what Mary and Martha do. Martha was serving, and you know, sometimes when we read about them in the Gospel of Luke and then here, we think there's something wrong with what she's doing. There was nothing wrong with what she was doing. She was using her spiritual gift. Service is something that I think God expects and enables all Christians to do, but there are some people that God gives a double dose and man, they just have a gift of helping and ministering to other people. And I think Martha probably had that spiritual gift of service. And so the first time we meet her back in Luke chapter 10, she complains. Jesus is there in her family home, and her sister's sitting there listening to what Jesus says. And remember what she said? She said, "Jesus, my sister, Mary, she's lazy. She's not helping me." And Jesus there, by the way, tells her, "Listen, leave Mary alone, because she's doing what she needs to do." Here we find Martha serving again, but she's not complaining this time. Why do you think that is? It's because Jesus had changed her heart and changed her life, because her brother that was dead is now alive. And so she's happy to serve Jesus. And she's happy to serve other people. It was evident, I'm sure, to these 12 disciples that traveled with Jesus that Judas was a scoundrel. Why they let him have the money boxes up for, you know, that's a good question. What were you thinking? You should have chose better. But Judas pipes up and he says, "Listen, Mary, who's anointing Jesus' feet with this year's worth value of ointment, pouring it on Jesus' feet, what a waste! We could have sold that. Listen, your salary, whatever it might be, don't you think if we took every penny you made through a year, wouldn't it help somebody if we took that pot of money and gave it to it would, wouldn't it?" And so there is some legitimacy to that statement. But Judas didn't ask it because he was concerned about feeding the poor. He had seen, remember, a few chapters ago, Jesus took a little boy's sack lunch and he fed 5,000 men plus women and children and then had 12 basketfuls of leftovers. And so the disciples knew that if they needed to feed folk, Jesus could handle it better than any of you ladies can. Listen, you can make food stretch and it can go a long way. And it's amazing. But when Jesus gets there, Jesus can do even more. So I do think they knew Judas was not the upstanding person that he should have been. And Jesus responded, "Leave her alone." He said, "It's time." He's told him multiple times in the last few chapters of John that we've looked at, "My time isn't yet." It's not time. Now he says, "It's time." First day of school was not that long ago. There's no child on planet Earth, well, there may be one or two, that woke up that morning and said, like at 5 o'clock, and said, "Mom, let's go to school." They wanted to sleep every minute they could. And when it was time to wake them up, you probably had to drag them out of bed. Because it wasn't time yet. you had to tell the kid, you didn't have to tell the kid it's not time yet. You said, listen, we're going to be late, so get going. Move your feet. Get dressed, get ready, brush your teeth, and eat your breakfast, and out the door you go. The last day of school, though, those kids are going to be happy about the last day of school. By the way, the teachers are happy about the last day of school, aren't they, ladies? Yeah, and we've got some teachers at our church. So, listen, they're excited about that last day of school. They're saying, yeah, let's go and get this over with. Summer vacation can start. But Jesus says, now it's time. And so that brings us to the last point that I want us to see this morning, is that the purpose of our transplant is God's glory. God gives us a new life. He gives us new hope. He gives us so much, and He blesses us every day. Why does He do that? Not so that we can say, man, look at how good I am. Or look what I've got. Or look at what my gift is. Mary gave a very expensive, extravagant gift to Jesus. Something that she probably had intended to save, by the way, for her wedding day or some other event, but she gave it to Jesus instead. Not because she wanted people to make much of her, but because she loved Jesus. And she was so thankful for what Jesus had done for her and for her family and for others. Bethany was a small town. And everybody probably knew everybody. And so, yes, people knew Lazarus was raised from the dead and had been living for these months. And they celebrated that. And we should celebrate the things that God does. That everything, blessing that God gives us, is reason to celebrate. And we should be thankful for what God has given us, not just at Thanksgiving, but all the time. We should constantly count our blessings. But Jesus said, listen, now is my time, and this is why it's my time. It's because what I'm about to do in just a few days, and what it's going to accomplish, is make a way that anyone that will receive that gift can have eternal life and have a new life, can have this heart transplant, if you will. And he says, that's why I came. So why would he said, I'm not really excited about that. And he's going to remind us of that later on in the story when we get there. But he said, why would I do that? Because that's the reason why I came. And so, may God be glorified in what's about to happen. And it was not a glorious thing what Jesus endured just a few days after the events in John chapter 12 and 13. But it was a wonderful thing. And it was an amazing thing that Jesus shed His innocent blood so that I could have life, and that you could have life. And that anybody that would receive the gift that Jesus purchased would have eternal life. Remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, this curse of sin means death. And that's all that sin can do. That's what sin does, is destroy. But God is the giver, and He's the author of life, not death. And all life, by the way, is precious and a gift from God. And so He reminds them, He uses the example of a wheat kernel. If you've ever seen a stalk of wheat and you put it on your hand and gotten some of those kernels in your hand, they're itty-bitty. If you just take those wheat, the kernels, A lot of people, you know, you bake with them or do whatever, you can eat them, is where I'm going with that. But you know what? If you put those kernels in the ground, that seed, because that's what it is, you plant that seed, and that seed stops being a seed. And you know what it becomes? A wheat plant. And guess what that one seed makes? A bunch of wheat. And so Jesus says, listen, I'll make this one sacrifice, but it is going to have big impact. And it's going to go all around the world. But not for my name. Not for my glory, but for God's glory. And then John said they heard a voice from heaven again. Remember, when Jesus was baptized in the beginning of the book, they heard the voice of God saying, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And John said they heard that voice again. And he says, I've been glorified in you, and I'm going to be glorified in you again. In other words, God was saying, hey, listen, so you are accomplishing what I sent you to do. Not that you would be a master, not that you would become a king. He already, by the way, was king, and he still is king. But he came to be a servant. He came because he loved me and he loved you. And he wanted us to be able to have a different path. The path we are born with leads to destruction. Sin always leads to destruction. It looks pretty, sounds good, it makes big promises. But the only thing it delivers is destruction. But the gift of God is life. And we see, the thing is, you and I get to choose. We can choose whether we keep that old sinful heart and we live our life that way. We can make that choice. Or we can say, you know what? I'd rather have a heart transplant. I'd rather have God's way. And I can tell you that God's way is a whole lot better than anything this world has to offer. And so God reminds us over and over again, it's about the heart. Yes, the apostles, Mary, Martha, Lazarus, were there. They saw, they knew who Jesus was and what he'd accomplished. And they believed that Jesus was the Messiah. There were people that said, yes, we believe this is the Messiah. This is the one that's coming. There were also people in that crowd sitting around this table of Lazarus's that weren't sincere in their belief. One in particular, Judas Iscariot. Jesus knew, and we'll see this next week, what Judas would do. And yet he believed that God was going to work it out. And guess what? God did. Judas did accomplish, and it wasn't for God's glory. It was for his own purposes. He was going to get paid to betray Jesus. And people laughed and thought when Good Friday happened and Jesus was crucified on the cross, people celebrated. But the people of God mourned. But those were reversed on Easter morning. Satan and his minions and the people of this world that trusted in the darkness of this world were saddened because this one that was dead wasn't dead anymore. He was alive. And friend, that's something we don't just celebrate on Easter. It's something that we should celebrate every single day. When we realize, why did Martha served so willingly this time, and why did Mary pour this expensive ointment on Jesus? Because they loved him. So, just like today, there's people that say they love Jesus, but their actions say something very much different. And the thing is, it's about the heart. It's not about what you say. It's about what you believe in your heart, how you live, the things that you do. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your love and your grace. And Lord, it is so amazing that you love us. Lord, we pray that you would help us to remember our need for this transplant. And if we've gotten that transplant, Lord, that we would remember every single day where we would be without you, which is in big trouble. Lord, you give life and you give blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Lord, help us to be thankful for that. Help us to use the things that you've given us to glorify your name and to help others. For Jesus reminds us that if we seek to save our life, we have to lose it. Not that we become martyrs or something like that, but Lord, that we would stop letting what we want rule the path, and instead let what you want rule the path. Lord, help us to do that. And Lord, if there's one here today that's never begun their new life in you, would you help them today to call upon you and to receive the greatest gift anyone would ever receive, eternal life. May this be a day where either we have a heart transplant or we celebrate the heart transplant we've got. And we'll give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and we're going to sing a hymn of response. If God's put your heart, there's a decision you need to make. We encourage you to make that decision today. Maybe you need to come to the altar and pray. Pray right from your seat if you'd like. But as we sing today, when you think about what would God have you do? This song asks the question, is thy heart right with God?